Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. This is the Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 129. Do a little dance, record a little show, get down tonight, get down tonight.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host. He still doesn't like the sound of his own voice. Pat Flynn.
Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over 1 million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct to consumer pricing, same day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order.
I don't. But you know what? It's not about me and how I feel about my voice. It's about you and how you are taking in this content here on the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Thank you again for joining me today. This is episode 129. Fantastic episode, different than what we've done in the past because our guest on the show proposed this interesting and unique way of having content be produced out there for you. And what we're going to do is actually our guest and I, we're going to be going over a real life business and how to scale it. This is what this episode is about. How do you scale your business? And in particular, how do you scale and grow if you have a service-based business that, of course, you know, requires your own time and you can only grow so much. And, you know, I've struggled with this a little bit in the past. My guest today has done the same, but he's now since scaled out. He's been able to build a team, but most importantly, with scaling up from his service-based business, he's able to make a bigger impact with those who he cares about and who he's serving. And I'd like to welcome Josh Shipp to the show. That's S-H-I-P-P. So Josh Shipp with two P's. You can find him at joshshipp.com. And let me just introduce you to him really quick before we have him come on. This is just great. I mean, he is a former at-risk foster kid turned successful entrepreneur. He's appeared on CNN, Good Morning America, 2020, was named to Inc. Magazine 30 Under 30. He started his career with a service-based business speaking to kids and helping to motivate them and helping them realize what's important in life and all that amazing stuff that kids need to hear. And I actually saw and sat down and watched one of his presentations, and oh my gosh, one of the best speakers I've ever seen. So I actually contacted him on Skype and we had a chat, and you know, I was sort of getting some tips from him as far as public speaking. A lot of you know how much I just care about that craft. And after speaking with him, I was like, wow, we have to get him on the show. And we were trying to discuss what we can talk about. And he talked about how he almost burned out from all of his traveling and trying to scale his business with just himself. And now, like I said, that he's scaled up, he's into the seven-figure range, he's built out a team. And we're going to talk about exactly how to do that using a real life business as an example. So what Josh and I did is actually on Facebook, we put out a call to anybody who had a service-based business who was interested in scaling up and who was having a hard time doing so. So you'll hear exactly who that person is and what that business is. And that's really the cool thing about what Josh proposed for this episode. He was like, what can I give that's different than what's already been done on your show? And he proposed to do a real life case study or a real life sort of critique on an existing business and how we could scale it up. So I'm just going to stop talking and we're going to get right into the interview. So without further ado, here's Josh Shipp. Again, you can find him at joshshipp2ps.com. Josh, welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, thanks, Pat, man. Really love and appreciate what you're doing, and super excited to dive into this topic. It's something that I've sort of struggled with myself for many years, and then sort of, you know, to a certain degree figured out. So this is something that I haven't talked a lot about publicly that I'm very excited to help out, particularly with your community, because what I love about your community is they are very earnest folks trying to genuinely make a difference. And so love to talk about scaling both that impact and that income.
Yeah, no, this is going to be fantastic. And I know scaling in particular for people who seem like or feel like that they are the brand, it could be a difficult thing to do. So we have a lot of great things to talk about today. And whether you are your brand and you have a service-based business or an online business, there's going to be a lot of takeaways here. However, in discussions between Josh and I about how to best present this information to you, Josh came up with a fantastic idea. So Josh, why don't you tell everybody sort of how we're going to approach this topic today?
Yeah, so a few things we're going to do is first I want to talk about, you know, sort of the mindset, the mandatory mindset that's necessary, because part of the challenge is not, you know, just what do you do, but also sort of the different way that you have to think in order to scale. There's sort of a certain mindset that very much serves you as you're establishing your business and as you're growing it to sort of like, hey, this is kind of something real, something I'm actually making a living off of, people are appreciating. But then some of those mindsets begin to actually work against you, frustratingly and unfortunately, as you're looking to grow and scale your business. So we're going to lead off with sort of the mindset. And then second, and this is what I'm very excited about, is Pat, as you and I were going back and forth, is like, well, we can like talk about the tactics and we can just sort of talk about it vaguely, like let's say you have a yogurt shop, or let's say that you're doing this service-based business or that service-based business. But instead, we, you know, I was like, dude, why don't you post on Facebook and find someone who, you know, has a service-based business, has some success with it, and is kind of struggling to scale it, so we can dive into their business and sort of use their business as a case study, not only for that person's benefit, but for everyone else's benefit listening in.
That's right. So a real business, real person, real life case study. This is going to be fantastic. And you know, it's funny because we actually put out an application on Facebook just to sort of see who else was out there who had a service-based business that they needed help with. And I don't know how many submissions did we actually get? We actually had people fill out a Google form. Josh, how many did we get? Like, over 100, I think.
Yeah, I think conservatively it was about 100, and again, a lot of really really interesting businesses. And the really neat thing, the thing that I don't even think I shared this with you yet, but many people were like, I don't even care if you guys pick me, but filling out the application was very helpful to them, you know, because we asked them some questions that perhaps they hadn't thought about, you know, in their business, such as, you know, why selfishly and selflessly do you want to scale? How would you describe your business in one sentence? So a lot of people said that they got value out of it, even if they weren't the one that got chosen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. Okay, so why don't we get started? Let's dive right into it.
Yeah, so let's talk about the mandatory mindset, first of all. So, for me, as someone who's gone through this and worked with a handful of buddies that are trying to scale as well, you know, I think part of the challenge here is that, change demands growth and growth demands change. And one of the books I've read about scaling that's been super helpful to me, that just the title itself, you know, kind of stings me and like encourages me all at the same time. It's a book called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And to me, that sort of encompasses the challenge that we face as, you know, folks running a service-based business who have experienced, you know, some level of success. And we can wrongly think that perhaps we just need to work harder, or we just need to do more of what we've currently been doing, and that's going to be the thing that gets us to that next level. And surprisingly to me, and most frustrating to me, is that the good news is, if you're listening and you've got a successful service-based business, well, the good news is you have a successful business. The bad news is that success will create unintentional bad habits within you. So an example from my own life, Pat mentioned in the intro, I built out this, you know, sort of speaking business, service-oriented business, speaking to kids. Well, the good news is that became pretty successful. The bad news is that it unintentionally ingrained bad habits in me, that why on earth would I want to, turn down gigs, turn down paid, you know, service-based opportunities, you know, turn down the opportunity to collect a paycheck, to then stay at home and not only not get paid, but invest hundreds or thousands of dollars in something that perhaps maybe could work. And that's something that I see a lot of my friends who have successful service-oriented businesses having to fight, is you have to fight that which has served you up until this point. And so it's obviously not turn down all of those opportunities or whatever. You obviously need to be able to provide for yourself or your family. But it's that you need to begin to create intentionality around your schedule. So it's less so, you know, looking to just collect paychecks and more so saying, this is something that I'm going to build that's a business. It's something bigger than me, bigger than just what I can provide or just what I can do. It's really the difference between owning a business and owning your job. And, and like I said, more is not necessarily better. Better is better. And so, you know, I think as we're entering into this and thinking about the mindset, these are the sorts of things that you have to be considering. You know, do you want to be the craftsman or do you really want to be a business owner?
Right. You know, I've come across this many times myself in talking with a lot of other entrepreneurs, the idea of, you know, not only just owning your business versus owning your job, but working for your business or you having your business work for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the good news is, regardless of what that answer is for you, there are ways, you know, even if you're like, I don't necessarily know that being the business owner and doing those sorts of things is the thing for me. I believe you could still stay the craftsman. You're just going to have to go and partner with or find an entrepreneur and set up some sort of win-win relationship with him or her, where you can begin to sort of scale your impact and income. But, you know, there is a difference between, you know, baking amazing cupcakes and owning a bakery. And I think it's important before you go down this road to take an earnest, genuine look at that, to look at your habits, to look at what you thrive doing, to look at what excites you and what challenges you enjoy facing and what challenges you don't. And just make sure that you're honest about, either way, it's going to be difficult. Either way, it's going to be challenging. But, you know, am I willing to do this challenging work? And if so, great. But if not, there could be alternative methods for you to, again, increase that impact and income.
Right. And just to reiterate for everybody, that book that Joshua was just talking about, it's called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And that's by Marshall Goldsmith. And we'll make sure to have links in the show notes, of course. You know, I'm feeling that a lot myself now. You know, a lot of what helped me in the beginning when I started my blog and started my podcast and YouTube channel, a lot of the same things I just cannot do anymore if I want to continue growing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm learning all about this now in regards to team building. But not only that, just sort of letting go of not only, you know, learning to let go of not only what I you know, don't know how to do. I mean, that's kind of obvious to sort of outsource those things, but also letting go and having other people do things that I actually like doing, but probably shouldn't be doing as the business owner.
Yeah. And, oh, dude, it's so painful. It's so difficult. I mean, for me, I have the glorious combination of being a perfectionist and a control freak. And so it's like, not only do I not trust you to do it, but if by some measure I can trust you to do it, then I need you to do it perfectly. So so many of these things that were necessary for me to scale just sort of went against how I naturally am, how I'm naturally wired, you know, maybe even weaknesses within my own character or myself as a person that sort of served me for a particular period of time. It's fine to be a perfectionist and a control freak when it's just you. But when you're building out a team, you will, as I did for a while, you will drive people crazy. So to me, and then I want to get into a specific exercise about the mindset and then move right on as quickly as possible to this case study, because I think that's where you know, your audience is going to get a ton of value, is a big aha that I had is that it's more important that you fall in love with the people that you're serving than the method of service.
Yes.
So it's important to fall in love with the people, not the method of service, because methods will sway, but those people stay. So here's what I mean. For me, kids and families, like, that's what I'm all about. That's what matters, the way I grew up, like the people who made a difference in my life. I love those people. I love their challenges. I love their joys. I love the opportunities, the frustration. Like, I love all of it. I love those people. Now, in the beginning, speaking was one way that I could add value, one way that I could get paid, one way that I could do a thing that I was good at and add value. However, when you're thinking about scaling, it's not, the question is not, what do I love doing? It's who do I love? You know, whose problems and frustrations and ups and downs and highs and lows can I see myself camping out with for the next 10 years? And so whether the way that I add value to them be blogging or podcasting or events or products or services or programs or whatever, it doesn't matter, because you ultimately genuinely care about that audience, so that regardless of what sort of way that you figure out to serve them, that's great for them and great for you, it's not going to matter, because ultimately you genuinely, earnestly care about that audience.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, to grow is not necessarily to just keep doing what you're already doing, but to find other ways to serve that audience. I love that. Methods sway, people stay. That's so great.
Exactly. So here's an exercise that I did early on. And Pat, as I mentioned to you, I had my team create a little workbook to accompany this conversation you and I are having. And I'm going to be putting sort of an outline of sort of how to do this exercise for everyone's benefit. And it's essentially sort of thinking through your ideal workday. Now, I don't mean like your ideal vacation day where, you know, you're in Hawaii and you have no responsibilities and you kind of do whatever you want. But I'm talking about your ideal workday. Like, in your ideal workday that you've either had or that you can envision yourself having, you know, in those boxes, I want folks to kind of think through, work through, not as just a cute, clever exercise, but to really begin to see some patterns in what it is that you most enjoy doing, and what it is that adds the most value to your clients, and also in what it is that when you do this particular thing, it also adds to revenue. Because what some folks can make the mistake of doing is figuring out an expansion plan, a plan to scale, and then try to shove their life into that.
Right.
But rather, I think it's critical that we first sort of define the life that we want and then place our expansion plan on top of that. You know, for me, I'm married, I have kids, there are certain, you know, boundaries with my time and my travel and these sorts of things that are very, very important to me. Other things I'm super, super flexible about and could care less. So thinking through what does my ideal workday look like, which will ultimately bring you to what are those three or four or five or two or seven things that when you do them, it adds the most value to everyone. You know, and for me, I realized I'm basically great at three things. And those are the three things that I need to be intentionally orienting my day towards as much as possible. Again, breaking out of that mindset of, you know, of owning my job, meaning when someone pays me to do a thing, then I'll do it. Or, you know, when it feels right, then I'll do it. But rather, you know, beginning to think like an entrepreneur, like someone who owns a business and says, I'm going to take control of my schedule and as best I can put myself in a position where I can do these three things as frequently and often as possible.
Right. Like, what are your strengths? What's working the most? What does your audience resonate with most? How are you most making the impact? You should do more of that. A lot of us just do because it helps us feel like we're staying busy and we're not necessarily paying attention to how things react to what we do.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You got to watch out. You got to ask yourself, again, some this mindset stuff, it can feel real like, oh, philosophical, like woo-woo kind of stuff. But it is important that you have the right and healthy mindsets going into the tactics, because you've got to ask yourself, am I doing this for my ego or am I doing this for my business? Because sometimes we can do busy work and things like this that for some reason, you know, feed into our ego, but don't feed into our business, don't feed into our ability to, you know, make a difference to as many people as possible and to make the income that that's associated with.
Awesome. Beautiful. And that workbook that Josh and his team's created is going to be totally free and on the blog at the show notes, and we'll give you all the links and stuff at the end. Thanks, Josh.
Yes. Yeah. Real quick, I'll list my three just to give people my three. I've narrowed it down to is spokespersoning, meaning kind of talking about a thing in the kids and family space on stage, on video. Positioning, thinking about how we position our marketing or our messaging and our products, and then mentoring my team. Those are the three things that I try to, as best possible, be insanely intentional about orienting my time towards doing that as frequently and often as possible.
Right. So if you look at your schedule for your day and you see that you're not doing any of these things, you know that something's up.
Exactly. Yep. I know I'm out of balance. I know I've gotten lazy or sloppy or let my ego come into play or one of the bazillion things I can tend to do poorly.
Right. Now, this is beautiful. Okay. So the work will be there. I looked through it already. It's fantastic, very easily organized. And I think that's going to help a lot of people. But let's help Alexandra.
Yes.
Now, you want to introduce Alexandra?
Well, I want to introduce her by telling you guys the answer to one of her questions. Hold on. Okay, I'm finding it.
Okay.
So this is when I was like, this lady's amazing. I was like, so one of the questions says, why honestly do you want to scale? And here was her answer. She said, I'm passionate about three things. Number one, helping people. Number two, business. Number three, folding fitted sheets. Yeah, I said it. And then she says this, I want to be successful financially and in business in order to be a female role model for other first generation immigrant kids. I want to inspire others to follow their passions, even if it involves folding fitted sheets. So to me, this was like, man, this is clearly someone who isn't just in it to scale just for, you know, what she can get, but also what she can give. And you know, I love that her business is a laundromat. I love that that's, kind of unique and different from probably what most of us do.
Yeah.
And with that, let me throw down this disclaimer to everyone. When you, you know, when you hear, oh, laundromat, that's not what I do. That's not what I'm involved in. Just constantly be asking yourself, you know, how does this relate to my business? Not only as you're listening to this podcast, but when you go into your favorite yogurt shop and you notice that they have a loyalty program that involves a card. And when you get, you know, 10 purchases, you get a free card. You know, stop and ask yourself, what does that have to do with my business? You know, I'm not a yogurt shop. I'm not involved in that. But how could I do that? How could I increase loyalty in my customers and the people that I serve? So, you know, though we're going over Alexandra's business, just be thinking, how does that relate to a challenge I have or an opportunity that I have?
Right, right. And I'll tell everybody out there, when Chris Ducker comes into town and we do our one-day business breakthrough events where we have 20 entrepreneurs there, everybody gets 15 minutes in a hot seat. When I talk to people at the end, they're like, wow, my hot seat was great, but I learned more from listening to everybody else's hot seat.
Yeah.
And like in businesses that they would have never thought they would have gotten anything from you know, websites about Tibet, like that one case study helped so many people just because of the things we talked about all together. So I think we're going to have the same sort of thing after people listen to sort of our assessment and recommendations for Alexandra and her business.
Exactly. And sometimes I think it's actually better to get and apply great ideas outside of your industry, because then it makes you sort of unintentionally seem more innovative and creative.
Right, right. Okay.
Instead of just copy and pasting.
Exactly. So Alexandra's website, for those of you, if you kind of want to follow along, we're actually going to do a live critique of the site and the brand and sort of what she could do to scale from there. It's Lady Bonilla Laundry, or B-O-N-I-L-L-A. So it's...
Look at you with your Spanish class saying the double L right.
Right? I took Spanish in high school, so it served me a little bit. Lady Bonilla Laundry, L-A-D-Y-B-O-N-I-L-L-A laundry.com.
Yes, and in the event she's already updated it by the time you're listening to this, you can use the Wayback Machine and check it out, which will also be an actual practical point of inspiration for you. Put anyone's web address in there that you admire and that you look up to, and then go back and find their early versions of the site. You could even do this for Pat's site, I'm sure.
Oh, geez.
And you will be equal parts like inspired, mortified, and encouraged.
Yeah. I did a post actually before my latest redesign, Josh, that went over the history of all the themes of Smart Passive Income. And it's hard to, that was a hard post to publish just because it does inspire a lot of people. So you can do the same with Lady Bonilla or SPI. I'll have links for that post on the show notes as well, but you're
beautiful. Right. Okay. So first thing I want to talk about here is the importance of streamlining and maximizing what is currently working. So for Alexandra, before you think about, you know, how can I get more customers? How can we offer different services? Maybe fold in some sort of continuity aspect to the business where, you know, people get unlimited laundry or a certain amount of laundry for a certain amount per month. So we kind of have recurring revenue to a certain degree we can count on each and every month. But before you let your mind run free with the hundreds of ideas of what could be appropriate for scaling your business, it is paramount that you first fine-tune what you currently have, your current processes, your current systems, your current workflows, your current prices, your current website, sort of all of that. Again, in the mentality of more is not better, better is better.
Mm.
And that you really want to have that foundation set up to be able to grow, to be able to scale. Because, you know, tomorrow, if your workflows were sloppy, and I'm not saying they are, I don't know, but, you know, mine certainly were starting out. And if your workflows are sloppy and your systems are sloppy and tomorrow you get 100 new customers, that's like the best and worst day of your life.
Right, right.
You know, it's great because you got new money, but then it simply would shine an enormous light on something that needs to be fixed prior to scaling. So a few things to consider. Number one, Alexander, what happens to the business if you're gone for 2 weeks? I want you to think through that. What would happen to the business if you were gone, out of contact, you know, email, phone, for some reason, some glorious tropical vacation on a remote island? What happens to the business if you're gone for 2 weeks? What would happen if you got 100 new customers? So this is really beginning to think around, if I was to remove myself from the business, so I'm not always working in it, though you still sometimes will, but I'm more so working on it, who does what and how do they do it? So I would encourage you to define, you know, what are the 6 or 7 areas of responsibility within your business, within your laundry service? You know, and those might be, I don't know the laundromat business, but it might be, you know, actually cleaning the clothes. It might be interacting with customers, taking payments. It might be, you know, a few other things, scheduling, you know, the people that are coming in and the employees. So just think through who specifically handles what and how they do they do it. So this is workflows, which I know something, Pat, you've talked about quite a bit. But this is your way of, if you are a bit of a control freak or a perfectionist like me, which serves you early on because then you have a value of excellence in your business, this actually is a way to set up a win-win where you can set the bar for how you expect something done, but then you don't have to be the one to do it. So get really, really clear on who does what in your business. How do they do it? What are those, you know, quality controls, those checklists, those workflows? Make that as clear and simple of language and number of steps as possible. And then maybe even experiment with that. Maybe even just one day, like on a Wednesday. You say, guys, you know, here's who's doing what. Here's kind of the systems. If you have a question, here's your point of contact who's not me. And then just go completely off the map for a day. Right. See how it works. You might have a small fire or two, but that small fire or two is going to show you a hole that you need to plug prior to looking to scale your business even more.
Right. It's important to understand what's going on in your business right now and what can be improved. Absolutely. And for everybody out there who has a blog or online business, it's the difference of just all of a sudden starting to pay for traffic to come to your website versus focusing on what happens when people get there first. The conversion rates. How do people go into your email list? How are people going through your business and finally get to your products? You should be working on that first before you start paying for traffic coming to your site, for example. So that's just one of the many ways that we can, you know, use this example in your own online business for those of you listening. And then in terms of how things get done, I recommend this for everybody. Anytime I talk to anybody about sort of outsourcing or scaling or anything, I tell them, Josh, to draw a mind map or a graph or just draw it out, everything that happens in your business, and then mark with a star or a highlighter each of those things that require a human touch. And then going beyond that, which of those things only require your human touch? Yeah. And then also you can go into each of those different processes, like you said. And if you could even, maybe you have a whole system or an operating procedure list of things that happen within one of those things. Can something be improved even like 10%? Like getting into the nitty gritty of your business like that is going to help you so much because those things add up big time over time.
Exactly. And guys, just know up front, this is not going to be fun. This is not the fun, sexy work of being an entrepreneur. And this is why most people want to scale, but this is an enormous hurdle as to why people with earnest motives to scale actually don't end up doing it, is because you get into a workflow or a document or a process and you're like, this is so lame. I just want to fold sheets. And then you can just revert back to that. You can just revert back to that, which is safe and comfortable and makes you feel good and this and that. Or you can just know up front that it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be challenging, but it's going to be worth it.
Right. And I like the idea of creating those workflows, writing them down so that other people can come on and do those things the way that you want them to be done or know how they should be done.
Absolutely. I'm going to actually add an area to that workbook, Pat, based on that suggestion, where people can sort of begin to map out, you know, who does what and who needs to be doing that. Cool. A couple other things. We got a lot to cover, so I want to make sure we stay focused. Another thing, currently, raise your current prices 10%. Now, here's why. It's not so much about the extra 10% in revenue, though that's part of it. There's a good chance that you're probably charging too little. But secondly, I've noticed in my own business and friends' businesses, when you raise your price, it forces you to raise your game. When you've been successful for a while, it's easy to get complacent. You know, people like it. No one's complaining. Everyone's happy. Everyone's good. But even if it's just with new incoming customers or a particular thing, raise those current prices 10%. That will, while you're spending the next 3 to 6 months building out these systems and workflows so you can truly scale, it'll get a little bit more money in the door, yes, but also it will force you to begin to take the services that you offer a little bit more seriously, because you're like, man, this is, you know, most folks aren't comfortable raising their prices. Mm-hmm. I certainly was not. And still sometimes struggle with that. But I have found that when I raise the price, it forces me to raise my game, which I should have been doing all along. But I've just found it's a nice way to trick myself to upping my game.
Yeah. And I'm looking at her prices right now on her menu. So she has the laundry service wash, dry, and fold for $1 a pound. And I know just from doing research in this industry that is already a deal at $1 a pound, just straight up.
Exactly. Yeah. And listen, if someone's your customer at $1 a pound, they're also your customer at $2 a pound. You're not, you know, with $1, you're not like forcing yourself into only like the upper income market. That is still very much in that zone.
Right. I really like that suggestion. And I've seen this, and Chris Ducker and I have experienced this. People raise their price and a lot of things change just mentally in how they move forward.
Yes. Yeah. It's very counterintuitive and scary, but you're right. All right. So let's get into the live critique of Lady Bonilla Laundry.com. So the good news is that I'm a complete stranger, Alexandra, to your business. And when you're looking at someone's website, there can be sort of this Where's Waldo effect. There can be a lot of stuff going on, and a particular thing that someone can see that is distracting or that is not congruent with the message that you're trying to sort of project. And so, first of all, the first thing I see is an inconsistent brand name. On a thing that's sitting on your shoe, I see Nia Bonilla Lavandria, then I see Lady Bonilla Laundry, Quality Laundry Service, and I think there's maybe even a different name that you put on your application. I'm looking at that right now. Yeah, on your application, the name of the business was Fabulous Laundry Services. And so I would just get clear about sort of what the brand name is, and I would make sure that it is a name that you can live with, but your customers love. Mm-hmm. So really focus on clarity instead of cleverness. Unless your brand is currently famous, or you can spend a ton of money getting it famous, I think the more that your brand name, your service brand name, can incorporate the experience you want them to have or the end result that you would like them to have, the better. I mean, smart passive income is a great idea. That kind of says, if you're interested in, you know, that sort of thing, if you want to see yourself as that sort of individual, if you want to learn about those sorts of things, then here we are. It would be a good fit.
Right.
So I would just encourage you to think about that, because I doubt when people are recommending you by word, just friend to friend, that they say, you know, you've got to go to Lady Bonilla Laundry Quality Service or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're probably using something a bit more stripped down, a bit more simple. So I would get clear on that.
Right. I like I'm sort of okay with the name. I don't mind it. But I think the site can do a little bit better at kind of helping people understand what that means.
Yeah, and it's also when I'm looking at it right now, it's the words in biggest font, meaning this is kind of like, this is what I see as most important is the brand name versus what we do for you, how we help you, how we serve you, how we make your life easier, that sort of thing.
Right, and with a laundry service specifically, and specifically these types of services in general, you know, these service-based businesses, when you can have that, this is something, you know, people's clothes get dirty all the time, right? And they're going to have to keep coming back, and they have a choice of where they can come back to. But when you can get people to understand the story behind your brand and, you know, give them reasons about who you are, and, you know, this, you know, business today is all about the relationships and the people, and the only sort of quote people I see on this page are just a pair of legs. Right. Which I think it's okay if that's your target audience, you know, women. And, you know, I like the landing page, perhaps. I mean, that big 11 with the heart on it distracts me. But, you know, it kind of works to draw my attention to the brand name. But then, okay, if I'm the first time there, I don't exactly know exactly what I'm getting or who this is for, or what it's about.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt when I first went to the site. It kind of felt a little like Match.com. It felt a little bit like a dating site or something. I'm like, oh, and look, I'm a married man, but I'm like, oh, there's like a woman in high heels, and I see her leg. What is going on? I must have typed in the wrong URL. And so again, I would just get congruent about what it is that you want that message to be. And I think, Alexandra, you answered, you know, when I said describe your business in one sentence, you said fabulous laundry services. So in this landing page, in this first example, it's going to be very important that everything points towards that and absolutely nothing distracts from that. That it's all about fabulous laundry services that save you time, that save you money, that those sorts of things.
Yeah, you could even say that instead of quality laundry services, why not fabulous laundry services?
Exactly. Right?
And then the image I feel in the background, which is great, is a little bit pixelated, I think. So, it's mobile, it's responsive, which is great. The site's responsive, which is a huge plus. But it could be a little bit clearer, and you can probably take a new picture on a nice camera and have it achieve the same sort of feel, but a lot crisper and cleaner.
Exactly. And yeah, and particularly if this is a local business, which it is, you know, this is a local brick and mortar business. You know, what's the environment I'm going into? Who are these people that are going to be handling my clothes and I'm trusting with my clothes? You clearly have a great personality, a great heart behind why you're doing what you're doing. But that is void here. I'm not seeing that. The only way I would see that is if I took the risk, went there, gave you my money, and then had a great experience. Then I would get it, and I no longer need to be convinced. But the whole game of marketing, and obviously your website, is to convince people before they make that decision, so they will indeed make that decision to do business with you. So it's important for all of us as we're thinking about scaling to think about what is the number one challenge that our customer is facing. And Alexandra talked about time as her customer's number one challenge. And so this also is void in the language that I'm seeing here. If truly from your research, time is my number one challenge as your customer, then I want to challenge you to honor that in the copy of your website, you know, and make that simple and clear to understand that it's not so much that you're just paying me $2 a pound to do my laundry, but it's that you're saving me time.
Right.
So you're going to have to really educate your audience in a simple and clear way what they're getting for their money other than just clean sheets, the thing that's more important, which is they're getting back some of their time.
Right, and time is obviously something that we all would be happy to pay for.
Exactly. So under the services button, I had a few thoughts here. I think there's like a lot of options. I'm maybe roughly just at, there's probably like, I don't know, 12, 15, 16 options here. And again, let's go back to what is your customer's number one challenge, time. And so again, even in our services, we want to honor that. You know, Chipotle is a business that does a great example of that. People are on their lunch hour typically when they go to Chipotle. There's not a bazillion things you can order. It's very simple. It's very clean. Here are your handful of options. Make your own, and then you're on your way eating and back to work. And so I think there are probably too many options here. So is there a way to simplify? Is there a way to sort of bulk price things? So as an example, I see down in the very bottom, shirts, polos, t-shirts, pants, dresses, coats, blazers. And most of that stuff is like $5, you know, plus or minus a dollar. Mm-hmm. So as an example, you could say something like, any of the following, $5. So you would make a little more on your polos, you would lose a little bit on your coats, but ultimately it's very, very simple pricing that people get, that even just in understanding the pricing helps to save them time.
I love that idea.
And also, I think long-term, Alexandra, you have a incredible opportunity for some sort of subscription model. You know, if I'm someone who frequents your business, I would love to be able to pay a certain amount per month, automatically billed to my account, where I just bring you my clothes and I don't even have to think about it. Like, it's just taken care of. You know, you could maybe even experiment with, we will come get them. You know, if you find out most of your customers are within a 20-mile radius, you know, would that extra revenue be worth it to, you know, pay someone who could go and pick those up and go and deliver those, whatever. But I think you have a very clear no-brainer opportunity for a subscription model here of, you know, basically unlimited amount of clothes, as long as it's not ridiculous. However, you could articulate that for a certain amount of money per month.
Yeah, I love that. And you could do, you can give those people, for example, a bag that, you know, they put whatever they can into it just to make it easy.
Exactly.
And yep. There's a service like that around my neighborhood, which specifically is just dry cleaning only, but they gave me a bag, and whether it's Monday or Thursday, either one of those days, they're driving around looking for those green bags hanging by on people's doors. Just makes it super easy for them and way convenient for me, knowing that they're coming. And I just know exactly what days I'm going to get my stuff done.
Exactly. So this is a great example of a win-win. You know, you just heard Pat say, it makes it so easy for me. So it's a win for him, but it's also a win for the business owner, because now you know, okay, we've got, you know, 100 customers paying, you know, $45 a month for unlimited laundry service, which means each and every month we're automatically bringing in $4,500 before, you know, we do anything. So you can, the good thing about this as a business owner myself is you can begin to forecast and understand your revenue a little bit more, you know, than how many people you can work with, your expenses, all of these sorts of things. So, right. I think this is certainly a no-brainer, great opportunity for you.
I think so too. What if, for example, it was only, you know, making it easy, starting out small, pick up for these people who do subscriptions is only on Monday. You know, it's Monday. That's the day you go get the truck and you go out, or you hire somebody to go get the truck. And then that way on Tuesday or Monday night and Tuesday, you that's when you have more people in there working to help with all these subscriptions.
I love that.
It just makes it so much easier to organize and know when more people should be in and when they shouldn't be in there.
That's brilliant. Here's how you do it. I'm getting excited. Here's how you do it. All right. So you say, you know, drop it off every Saturday or Monday or whatever. Ask your customers. Don't trust Pat or I. Ask your customers. What day do they want their stuff picked up? So you can, we'll either pick it up on Saturday, or you can drop it off any day of the week. And in the beginning, if you don't want to hire someone your own, there are services. I'm not an investor or associated with this company. There's a service called like TaskRabbit.
Yeah, I've used it.
Yep, where, you know, for $5 or $10 or whatever, people run random errands for you. This could be an example of a random errand. So you could find someone locally who would be willing to go to these, you know, 20 addresses and pick up the green bag and then bring it back to you.
I love that idea. Just contract that out, you know, using a site like TaskRabbit. And
exactly.
Maybe it's like $20 an hour. They spend 2 hours picking up stuff. That's $40 for that one person, as opposed to everybody on, you know, that, or how much you'd have to pay somebody who's on payroll and all the other stuff that goes along with that. That's super cool. I love that.
Yeah, be smart when you're scaling and really, really earn the right to spend your own money. So don't just, you know, flat out say, well, we've got this idea we think might work. And the truth is, this idea will work. The question is, how many times will it fail first? How many times will you have to mess with the formula, mess with the pricing, mess with how you're communicating it? So in the beginning, as low risk as you can be with your own money, with your own investment, the better. And yeah, outsourcing it is a great way to do that. On the gallery page, there's not a lot of like pictures of clothing. It kind of looks like a kid's modeling photography agency. That's very minor. Under the FAQ, there were quite a few things that were blank, which then makes me think, is this place still open for business? Is this a startup that hasn't launched yet? There's no clear contact button. There's no clear like call to action.
Phone number, perhaps.
Yeah, there is contact info on the homepage.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You know, but I would likely probably go to services. That would probably be like the one thing I would go to. And then there is no contact information, no none of that. So have that contact info bottom of each page, and definitely over there in your left side navigation.
Right, and a link to even get directions. You know, everybody's on mobile now, and just a button where people can go find the best and quickest way to get to your place.
Exactly.
You know, like local services. You know, Google Local is you need to be on local. We haven't done research to see if she pops up in Google or where she pops up, but you can utilize mobile. Moz has some stuff on local rankings and stuff like that to help you as well.
Exactly. And then my encouragement to you, Alexandra, this is a great bonus for everyone, is once you make these handful of tweaks to the site, there's a resource that has been very, very helpful to me. It's a site called peak.usertesting.com. Pat will link it up for you guys. And basically what it is every month you can have 3 random strangers visit your website for free, and they record like a 4-minute screen cam answering questions such as, what is your first impression of the site? What is the point of this site, aka this business? And then, you know, what confuses you, or, you know, what should you do next, or what would you do next, or these sorts of things. So you can begin to gather, you know, not from not trusting your own mind and not trusting people that know you and already know what you do, but complete strangers who don't yet care about you, don't yet know you, haven't yet had a positive experience with your business. You know, am I being super, super crystal clear about what we do, how we do it, our pricing, the call to action, those sorts of things? It's a great way to, you know, get out of that battle of you can't see the forest for the trees, or however that goes, and just get a complete stranger to take a glance at your site.
That's so cool. Peak.usertesting.com. I'm on there now. See and hear a 5-minute video of a real person using your site or app. It's super fast and totally free.
Oh, yeah. So here's their business model, just so you know. Basically, you can do 3 a month for free, but if you wanted to do 20 and you wanted to like specify the demo, if it was like, I want, you know, women ages 30 to 45, then you pay for that. And even that, I don't even think is ridiculous. It's less than $100 for sure.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. So every month you can run 3 tests to your site and get. And I've done it, and some of them, I'll be honest, have been completely pointless and useless. But out of the 10 I've done, 3 have given me game-changing, like 10K-plus ideas.
Wow, that's so cool. I mean, you think about it, these are complete random strangers. If you ask even if you ask your own audience for help, they're going to want to make you feel happy. They're not going to be completely honest with you necessarily. This is what a random person coming to your site would see, and you get to hear it. That's a great idea. Thanks for that resource.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that's part of the challenge of scaling, is moving outside of people that already know what you do, that already get what you do, that already trust you, and moving into, how do I go find strangers who would most likely get me and trust me and could use what I do, but then I got to convince them. So yeah, super helpful.
All right.
All right. Final thing on streamline and maximize what's working. Alexander, you mentioned you don't have an email list. You got to get that set up as soon as possible. You know, MailChimp is one you can use for free if cost is an issue at this point. But you could do something such as an in-store coupon or, you know, one free t-shirt cleaned or something to incentivize people to get on your list. And the point of your list is going to be, you know, a way to add value, a way to keep in touch. And then also, when you roll out this subscription program or, you know, in whatever various ways you're going to scale your business, then you can obviously get in touch with those folks and let them know about it.
Yeah, I love that. Definitely email. And then down the road, maybe even taking advantage of text messaging and things like that.
Yep. Okay, so that's, you know, there's a ton we could cover, but step one, streamline and maximize what's currently working. Step two, gather intel from existing customers. So I'm going to move kind of quickly through this. So conduct some informational interviews, Alexandra, with 15 of your existing customers. And here are the questions I would encourage you to ask them. Of course, make up some of your own. And then here's why I want you to ask these certain questions. What's something you need ongoing help with? And so the question behind the question there is, what recurring revenue opportunities could you have?
Genius.
Yep. So what's something you need ongoing help with? Secondly, what's the number one challenge or frustration in your life? So this answer is going to provide you with other products or services or things that you could and perhaps should be doing. What product or service do you wish we offered? So here's something I would like to give you money for if you would only let me give you money for it. and then this one is super huge. How would you describe us to someone you care about in one sentence? This is so huge because we get nerdy and like think about our businesses all day long because we love it and it matters to us. And we can get over complex and really, really unclear. But when you begin to hear how people describe your business to their aunt or to their nephew or to their niece or whoever, you will begin to understand what matters to them and what doesn't, and what is fluff and what's really at the heart of how they see you and the value that you bring. So the value behind that for you is that it can help point you towards a very, very clear brand articulation.
Beautiful. People are going to be rewinding this to get those questions. But again, we'll have these questions on the show notes. So just keep moving forward for everybody. We're chugging along here for sure.
Cool. So, all right, there's that. Number three, and build out a rough draft of one concept. So here's what I mean. By one concept, I mean after you do these informational interviews and do them, please. It's easy to skip steps. It's easy to be like, Josh, I know my customer, blah, blah, blah. Just do it. I promise you. It sounds like dumb or boring or lame or unnecessary right now, but afterwards you'll be like, all right, props. I'm glad I did that. Mm-hmm. So after you talk to these 15 lovely folks, you're probably going to get pretty clear about two or three like exciting ideas. So maybe it's a subscription service and maybe it's something else. So we'll use the subscription service as sort of our talking and working example here. So then you need to build out just a real ugly and rough draft of that concept. In the beginning of scaling, it's more about what you learn than about what you earn. It's really about getting it right, getting the processes, the systems, and all of that right. That matters more than earning a bunch of money, getting a bunch of people into that product or service. You know, you guys saw how Pat did this with the launch of his SPI podcast player where you could purchase it and use it on your own podcast. You know, he likely could have gotten 1,000 customers in it on day one, but I thought it was smart to limit that so you can get folks in there to poke holes in it, find out what they love, find out what is unnecessary and distracting, and all of these sorts of things. So,
yeah, the beta launch was very, very smart. And at first, part of me was like, you know, we have a wait list of 1,000 people who said they would buy this. Why aren't we selling it to every one of them?
Yeah.
Because you want to give as many people the best. And in order to give people the best, you have to start with a minimum viable product, an MVP, as we've all heard of before, with a few people. And if you get those few really excited people who are in there who understand that you sort of are starting with this, they're going to be more than helpful to help you create that best product down the road. I mean, I can't tell you how vital the initial 250 and then the few other 100 people we've let in just for the beta launches have been to what the product has become. And we're going to be releasing version 1.0 to the world later this year or maybe early next year. And it wouldn't be as good as it is now if it wasn't for that limited initial run with it.
I love that, man. And it is a compliment to you embracing that mindset we talked about in the first 15 minutes, is breaking away from the old habit of, let me just sell the 1,000 right now, and going into that long-term entrepreneurial thinking of, you know, let's do this right, let's do this with excellence, let's do this with quality. And when you do such, that's the slower game, that's the longer game, that's not always as exciting, but it's better for everybody long-term. So once you have kind of this a rough draft of the concept, here's how we would roll out this, you know, membership to you know, our laundry service. Then I want you to get just 10 customers in and involved in that.
I so love maybe, that idea.
Maybe that, when you're, maybe like when a, you're doing these 15 interviews, maybe like 10 of them or 5 of them say, you know what I need? I need to just be able to drop off all my laundry to you and you deal with it. So then you can go back to those 5 and go, loved your idea, listened to your idea, we're doing it. I would love for you to be one of the first 5 people in it. We're going to discount you in exchange for you being willing to give us some very, very honest and direct feedback about how we can improve it.
Yes, so good. I love that. And plus, that validates it. If you get those 10 customers, boom, you got it. If you didn't get the 10, well, then you can move on to try one of the other ideas.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And look, you may try one of the ideas. It may fail terribly or likely. Here's the truth of everything I've ever done that eventually scales is nothing comes out of the gate as a roaring success. You know, the best of intentions come out as a minor success. But then you know, okay, there's something to this. This is not just a harebrained idea that I have, but there is validity in this, and now it's time to hone it. So, 2 important things with this that I want to be very, very clear about. When you get those 10 customers in, I want you to be very thoughtful in the questions you ask them and how they are enjoying this experience, what could be better, what is the best thing, what's a frustrating thing about it. You've got to really poke holes in it so you can improve the product, improve that service. And then, and a thing that might be easy to miss, is I want you to document the results. So poking holes is going to help you improve the product. Documenting people's results is going to help you sell the product. Because now you have, you know, a genuine, earnest story from, you know, Nancy, who says, I drop it off. Well, no, they pick it up every Sunday. I don't got to think about it. It's amazing. It saves me at least 15 hours a week of my life, or whatever the story is. And then you can use those stories to market and sell it when you roll it out to your audience as a whole. And I love selling through success stories because it can, as long as you do it in the right way, it removes any of that sleaziness or it's just about me or I just want to sell this thing. And it really highlights people who have gotten certain results from this thing that you're offering. And then essentially the offer is, would you like to save time and money as well? Then boom, here's what we have for you.
Awesome. Love that.
And then fourth is to fine tune the concept. So based on that customer feedback, you're going to fine tune the product, and you want to make sure that when you're getting their feedback, that you not only leverage their results as success stories, like we've already talked about, but that you use their language when you're offering it to everybody. So you might come up with something clever and say, you know, it's your all-in-one laundry concierge, but they might call it the buffet of laundry, or they might be like, it's like being in high school and your mom does your laundry and you can goof off. Who knows what they're going to say, but use their language. Again, it's really easy to focus on cleverness versus clarity, but just really, really focus on clarity. And what is it that they're loving? What kind of little, you know, funny things, or how do they describe it? And really pay attention to that and really, really use that. You know, and then you're going to launch a second version. You're going to launch that to a slightly bigger audience. You're going to continue to sort of hone and tweak and get feedback and get success stories. Continually, pardon the pun here, you're going to wash and repeat in your process.
Nice.
And thank you. I was very excited for that. I've been waiting now 40 minutes to release the Kraken on that one. And then ultimately, then it comes down to, now you have something else within your business that is running, that's making money, that has workflows, that has systems, that has processes in place, and then you can go and add on another one. Here's an enormous self-discipline I have placed in my life as an entrepreneur that I cannot tell you how thankful I am that I've done such. And I did such not because I'm smart or clever. I did such because when I didn't, I would just plummet into failure. Here's what it is. Set a specific dollar amount for a new venture. So set a specific dollar amount per month for this subscription-based service, and do not allow yourself to move on to another concept, another idea, another way to monetize until you hit that goal. You have to look where our character is weak. We have to place external structure. And since we're the owners, we don't have a boss. We don't have someone holding us to it. So you're going to have to force that external structure on you, because it's so easy to say, well, no, it was the idea. The next idea is going to be the thing that really does it. The next idea, that I'll really follow through with. The next idea, that I'll really complete. But the truth is, it's that final 20% of the idea of unleashing it, of fine-tuning it, that's just terrible and painful and not fun and not entertaining, regardless of who you are and how clever you are, how smart you are, and how successful you've already been. So I have found, when you place a parameter such as a dollar amount that is not emotional, is not left to interpretation, such as, oh, it needs to be running smoothly and then I can move on, but a very specific dollar amount for your app, for your new service, for your new venture, when it hits that certain dollar amount, then I can begin to entertain the next venture, the next service we're going to offer, the next whatever. Because if you don't finish well in this first one, and some of you have already sensed this pattern in yourself, you're going to do the same thing in the next one. So really, if you're in a mastermind group, share that number with them and really try to, for the benefit of you and your customer, force yourself to be disciplined to that.
Love it. Fantastic advice. Wow. So we talked a lot about scaling and some of the mindset and a lot of this very specific things you could do right now to potentially create that product that's going to help you scale. And then we've also hovered a little bit on the workflows and creating standard operating procedures to perhaps help replace yourself. Just taking that bird's eye view of everything that's going on and try to poke holes on it and try to fill in the gaps where you aren't necessarily doing all the work and your business is able to scale without, to a point where there's, you know, less of a limit just based on what the work that you could do yourself.
Exactly.
Awesome, Josh. Hey, thank you so much for this again. I'm sure we could have talked for another 12 hours about this. But I'd love to hear everybody's feedback. Like, what did you think of the format of the show? Did you like it? Did you like hearing a real life example? Do you have any other suggestions for Alexandra? Head on over to the show notes. If you go to smartpassiveincome.com/session129 or just /129, whichever, that'll take you to the show notes where you can leave comments. You'll get the link for the workbook. Again, thank you again, Josh, and to your team for putting that together. Download the workbook. It'll be completely free and get all the links to everything we mentioned, that really cool peak.user.testing.com site, plus everything else we mentioned. Josh, before we finish up, like, please, where can people find out more about you and what you're doing and all the incredible things that you have going on?
Yeah, so you can see what I'm up to, helping kids and families at JoshShipp, that's with two P's, .com. And Pat, man, it's honored to serve your audience. I love what you do, how you do it, and I love all the different cool things that your audience is up to. And I hope this information has helped them to think about not only how to increase their impact, but also increase their income.
Love it. Thank you, Josh. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Josh Shipp from joshshipp.com. Again, that's with two P's. And you can head on over to the show notes at smartpassiveincome.com/session129 or just /129. And you can download that free workbook that he and his team has created for all of us out there looking to scale up in our businesses. Just fantastic conversation. And Alexandra, best of luck to you. Please keep us posted on how things go and what you do from this point forward. And for those of you listening, thank you so much for spending time with me today. I appreciate you so much. And I also appreciate and want to thank today's sponsor, a brand new sponsor to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, lynda.com. L-Y-N-D-A, one of my favorite websites right now. I'm on it almost every day. If you don't know what lynda.com is, it's an easy and affordable way to help any individual learn. Instantly stream thousands of courses created by experts on business, software, web development, graphic design, and more. I'm actually taking a course right now on photography and how to better use my DSLR camera, and it's awesome. There's all types of topics, and the cool thing is these aren't just like YouTube videos that people put up. These are people who fly into the studio and create these amazing courses, and seriously, the coolest thing is for one monthly low price of $25, you can get unlimited access to over 100,000 video tutorials. I've also looked up some stuff for Photoshop and Adobe InDesign. I mean, there's all kinds of tutorials here. Seriously, the best website for learning. So if you go to lynda.com, that's lynda.com/SPI. I worked out a deal with lynda.com to provide all of you listening with a special offer to access all courses, every course on the site for free for 7 days. Just visit lynda.com/SPI to try lynda.com for free for 7 days. Thank you so much, lynda.com, for being awesome, and everybody else out there who's listening. Seriously, thank you. You're amazing. I appreciate you. I'm going to keep moving forward if you promise to do the same. Cheers, and I'll see you in the next episode of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Hey there, and thanks for sticking around to the end. If you're looking for more great shows like this one, definitely give How Success Happens a listen, another great show from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On How Success Happens, Robert Tuchman features some of today's brightest entrepreneurial minds talking about overcoming challenges and viewing them as learning experiences to create success. The challenges that entrepreneurs face are ultimately what make many of us successful, however we define success, and that's what the show is all about. There's lots of names you'll surely recognize on the show every single week. Just recently, Robert had Nasty Gal CEO Sophia Amoruso on the show, and the former CEO of Snapple the week before that, which is really awesome. So listen to How Success Happens right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.